You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardner, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
Oh, yeah.
Did you hear that?
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I had to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out in the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on his cypress knee, and he was talking to Moccasin Joe. Where the party they gonna have? Out in the St. John's swamps. Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Viscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Viscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Well, good evening, everybody. This is Marco Bill, and welcome to the Bigfoot Live radio show. And, boy, have we got a lineup for you tonight. Tonight, TJ will not be on. He's out of cell phone range, so he can't quite make it. We tested it out earlier, and it just didn't work. So myself and Rocky, Rocky's father, will be doing the show with our guests. Now, we got quite a few guests. We got three guests, basically, that we're going to talk to tonight. And each one has a pretty significant experience with these creatures. And I got to tell you that TJ now and his team they just come off of expedition, and he's kind of resting, I think, now. He's in New York right now, but resting up a little bit, and be ready to have a nice cool glass of tall drink after being on the road for a few weeks, you know. I'm sure. And anyway, Tom, he's doing all right. He's back there just conducting business like crazy, as always. And so all of us are here, Rocky and myself, we just keep ourselves flopping away over here and just picking up the pieces every once in a while. We're waiting. What we're waiting for right now is waiting for Audrey to dial back in. She just she had some problems with the phone earlier. She said she might drop off. She just dropped off, but she'll dial back in trying to get back in here.
She's got a smartphone.
Yeah, too smart.
Yeah,
I'll tell you what.
Well, you know, Marco, one of the
things, well, what we can
before,
do,
go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, Rocky.
Before we actually get started, I just wanted to mention something that's not mentioned often enough is merchandise.
Well, sure.
Shopping for Bigfoot.
Audrey.
Hey, Audrey.
Hey.
Shopping for Bigfoot, there's all kinds of merchandise, everything from coffee cups to beanie hats and just T-shirts, everything. Y'all need to check it out and buy.
And if you want, you can go up on www.bigfootliveradio.com, and there's buttons on there for the store, or you can go www.shoppingforbigfoot.com, where you'll go directly to the store. Either way, or you can also go www.searchingforbigfoot.com, and on there they'll have a button for the store. So any one of those three places, you're going to go right into it, and you'll be able to see the whole thing. And we do have, we've made 9 movies now over the last 15 years, and 3 of them got the Pocono Film Festival Best Director Award for documentary, and it's pretty neat. So you can go up there and take a look at what we have. And we'll be glad if you got something. Well, we're going to get right out here to Kentucky, and we're going to get to Audrey here and find out what in the heck. Now, Audrey is living in an area, and she has had for quite some time now multiple creatures coming up to pound on her wall. They do all kind of things around her house, and she has a heck of a time. And she's always got something going on, and there's different kinds of creatures as well. So we're going to have her come on tonight. We're going to have her kind of describe some of the things that are going on. Audrey, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good.
Well, why don't you tell us pretty much a little bit of a background about yourself and what has been going on in your place there?
Well, I can start 2 weeks ago. Last time I was on the show, it got pretty quiet because there was a bunch of people around the house, you know, out there running them off. And it got quiet for a couple of days and stuff. And at following Saturday, you know, I sat out there in my car listening and stuff. I sat out there from 10 o'clock when it usually starts till about 1. At about 1:11, because I kept an eye on my time, I heard gunshots, you know, and if it's deer season, I think he's going to use a bow at this time of the year. Well, I could hear a bunch of guns being shot off, and I just sat there. Back in the woods, you could hear it. And then all of a sudden, about 3 or 4 minutes later, you could hear like a whooping sound, and you could see something running in the sticks. I figured maybe a deer's coming around the side over there, you know. And I wasn't no deer. It stuck so bad it would knock you out. The smell come around the car, you couldn't see, but you could hear it, smell it. So I figured, you know, they're gonna run these Sasquatch off, whoever's out there hunting and stuff, you know, and that's gonna be all of it. Well, it went quiet for a couple more days, and then all of a sudden they was down in my ditch. There's a big ditch on the left hand side of my house. And you can hear them down in there running, making hoop noises, and screeching and scratching, you know. And then I'm going to update it farther up to last Wednesday, go a little farther into the future. And like on, it gets quiet off and on, but on the 10th, I have a co-stay with me, a relative. And she went out in the woods, probably on the 8th or something like that. She was telling me about it, and then something back there scared her. She said, whatever it was, it wasn't there. So I didn't say nothing to her. So on the 10th, on the room that she's in, something jumped on the roof. She jumped out. It's not funny, but it is funny. Jumped out of her bed, came running. Something jumping on the roof. And that's usually what the red skinny one would do. It would jump on the roof. It would just leap up like it was nothing. I've seen him jump on and I've seen him jump off 4 years ago. It's been going on for 4 years with him, you know. I said, well, I guess he's back. And she said, this is all natural to you. This ain't scaring you. It's been going on so long. It's just natural, you know. So anyway, I got it wrote down so I can keep up logging. It's so much going on, I had to start writing it down. Like, that was on the 10th, okay? And then, last Thursday, I changed the position of the food that I give them. I've been giving them donuts, you know, glazed donuts with chocolate sparkles on top. So I switched it on one side of the yard on the other side, okay, from where I usually keep it, where it's more safer for them. They feel more comfortable. I try to keep it closer to my bedroom so I can get a picture of these guys. I want to get a picture of these guys. And it was like Friday night, I put it up Thursday, Friday, I could hear noises. Saturday, I woke up, I had my baby monitor on, I got my baby monitor set up, and I could hear something like somebody weeping, like a cry, weep, or like a woman crying or weeping, like, you know, like, hey, you know, I can't explain it, but it was unusual. And then all of a sudden, I heard one of the Sasquatches. It must have been like two of them having a conversation. And the only thing I can figure is that I changed the food position in the yard. I could hear them. She was closer to the house, like she was trying to go over in front of where the food was at. And like he was telling her no, you know, because this went on for like the voice. He was so close, I could have got up out of my bed and probably walked into him. But I tell you what, he was talking to, it must have been a female. It sounded like a woman's voice, like, you know. And he was making, I wish I had a recorder, could have recorded that. It was unreal. But anyway, he was talking to her, and he was like, I don't want to make the sounds, but trust me, it was scary. It scared me so bad, I just stayed in bed. I said, you know what, whatever that is, that's big. And he sounds scary. So I just let it go, because I'm not like, boy, that brave, you know what I mean? So I just let it go. And then, like, this past Monday, I had to go out and pick a couple of things up in the yard. I was too tired to do it during the day, so I'm used to coming like person anyway, too, I think. So I went out there, and it was Monday night, probably about, I don't know, 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, and I was picking some stuff up. And I happened to look over to my left, and I finally got a sight again of one of the Bigfoot, Bigfoot guy characters. And I looked at him, and he looked at me, and he had a donut in his hand. And he just kind of looked at me, and I just kind of looked at him, and I could see him. I don't know how many yards it was, but I got a good view of him. He got a good view of me. And I just stood there, and I just, like, shook my head and said, well, you're too big for me to mess with, buddy. Enjoy the donut. And I'm like, nobody's going to believe this. But it got me so excited that I actually got to see one. His color was a champagne, the champagne ones. And you could see a lot of his chest. You know what I'm saying? In his legs, you could see a lot of the legs on him. You could see, like, probably from the knee up and around him. Only thing I can tell you is he looked like Henry and the Hennigans. He looked a lot like him. I said, well, maybe it's a guy out there in a big costume, you know. But I actually seen him. And it just thrilled me to death. I got to see him, you know. And for some reason, he didn't scare me. Now, the red one kind of scares me. He kind of was weird. And the black ones, they act like they're going to kidnap you or something.
Audrey, can you tell us? Okay, give us a description of each of the creatures that you've got there. So that a lot of people don't know.
So excited.
Try to give some kind of a description of each one.
Well, like I said, it started over 4 years ago. It was a tall, skinny red one. And I opened my window and looked dead at him. And that's where I got the food set so I can see the rest of them, get pictures of them. But they're a little smarter than him, evidently. Because for a long time, it was a red one. And like I said, about, I don't know, middle summer or something, all of a sudden I was seeing different ones. I mean, seriously, there was them. Okay, so the tall red one.
How big are these creatures? How big are these? Could you describe how big they are, kind of what their build is, kind of like?
Well, the red ones are slinky and skinny and tall. He's probably, I might as well get it. That's going to take a little guess. probably 7 feet, maybe, the red one. He wasn't real super tall, 6 and a half, maybe 7 feet. He was skinny. He's more skinny than tall. Now, the other black ones, they're huge. You're talking 8 feet or more. They're scary. Uh-huh. They're huge, more than 8 feet. So I'm like, okay. Then there's your champagne ones, and I really can never get a good look at them. The ones that look like Henry and the Henrikins. You ever watch that movie?
Yeah.
He looked identical to that. I was like, okay. But he didn't scare me at all. He just kind of like, okay, I got busted. I got your donut. And I just like, okay, I could actually walk up to this thing. But you know what? I think I want to just, you don't make me uncomfortable, but yeah. I was so excited. I got so excited. He just looked at me and I looked at him and he started walking off. And I started walking off because I don't want him to be uncomfortable because I've had him in here so much. I figured the gun shooting and running off and people kind of run them off here, or maybe they're deer hunters. Maybe they don't know they're here. I figured eventually they go away. They don't. They go away for 2 or 3 days. They come back. And Nicole, they're jumping on the roof. She's scared that she won't go back in the woods. She said, I ain't going back in the woods. She said, that wasn't a deer. I don't know what it was. It wasn't a deer. I'm not going back. She says, and that's why I told her. I said, you know, we got some goings on here, you know, Sasquatch tribes. They're out here. They're tribes. There's different ones, you know, so make some tribes. So she's like, nope, she won't even go out the back door. She's like, no, they're too scary for me. Whatever it is, it's not a deer. So, I mean, maybe this is a pass-through for them. You know, I don't get it. I'm not seeing things. I know it's real. I've dealt with it for 4 years before I even got help. I just let it go. I mean, this red one was even coming in the house. He came in the house. My dad was alive, and I was standing by doing the dishes. I'll never forget it. My dad come to that kitchen, he screamed so loud, oh, my God, such quiet. Run, run. I was like, Brian, what the hell? What's wrong with you? So I looked over, and I could see something like, there, but I didn't get a good look, but the smell was awful. And when he went out the back door, he hit the door pretty hard. You could hear it, you know, and I heard like a grunt. So, you know, this has been going on for quite a while, you know, so, but I'm going to get pictures, guys.
Now, you said you fed him some donuts with sprinkles on them, right?
Yeah, they love them donuts. Oh, yeah, all kinds. I got chocolate on top.
What else have you fed them?
Well, oh, God, you name it. I give it to them carrots. Apples, peanut butter, tuna fish. I give them a lot because there's more than one. Big old pot of chili. The chili went pretty fast. I was really amazed by that. They really like my chili. I got a big old tub of chili out there for 20 people. So I said, well, something's eating it awful fast, you know. And, they like the donuts. They seem to like the donuts. A little different, I guess, for them, you know. They're not going as quick, but they're going. And if it was, the thing about it, they're in boxes, okay? I got they're in boxes, like where you open the big box and you close it.
Yeah.
So, you know, I close one and open the other, okay? And when I go out there, I know it's not people out there eating them donuts. So when I get out there, both boxes will be closed. And then the other days, they'll be open, see? So if it's a raccoon or something, they would make a tear or scratch or something, you know. But I'm trying to get them more comfortable with me so I can get a picture, an actual picture. I had a footprint. I had a footprint, but it wasn't enough, significant enough. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I put flour down, and you could see the foot. It was long and skinny, you know, but it wasn't significant enough. I said, well, I'm trying.
Well, the flour works pretty good. So does, you know, a little bit of sand, too.
I had to try that. Yeah, I'm thinking about the sand. But I tell you what, it's going to take one heck of a cage to catch these characters. He was huge. I mean, he was you can see the human in him. He's got a lot of human. They have got a lot of human in them. From what I can see from this one, the champagne one, they have a lot of human in them. There's a lot of us
now,
in there.
What have you seen the facial characteristics?
Oh, you can see his face just as clear as day because the moon was real bright.
And what does it look like compared to a human face? Between a human and an ape.
Well, here's the way I look at it. We're all animals, really. We're just tame. Man is just tame. He's an animal. He's been tamed. If you took a 100 men and threw them out in the woods, let them all go out and survive, and they just say they survived. I doubt they would, but say they did. Eventually, nobody knew they was there. They just hid away. say, in 100 years, they bred and had humans, you know, they would be maybe animalish looking too. Maybe if you go out in the woods, you start changing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But no, this one here, he looked like a Henrikin, but his head wasn't as thick at the top of the top of it. It was more like a human on top, but he I could see him that good from this front, yeah. His eyebrow down.
How does the nose and the eyes, how do they, first of all, is facial hair?
Yeah, he had hair on him. Oh, yeah, but he didn't have none on his chest and down, like, I guess it was a man, I don't know, but because he had hair, but like on his legs from his knee up, there was no hair, like from the knees up, coming up like in the middle, and the chest,
yeah.
But on the outside around the chest was hair, but the chest was completely no hair at all on him. No.
Now in the face,
and it was,
what kind of a nose?
Well,
Is it more human like or is it more ape?
It was human. It was human. It wasn't like no ape. It looked like Henry the Henrikins, except more
yeah.
human looking. He looks more like more into the ape category, I guess. But no, he was more human looking. He looked more human
right.
than Henry. But if you looked at Henry, you'd see that it could be his cousin or something. Maybe it was.
Right.
I was like, wow. And he made me feel so comfortable, and he was like so warming. I said, oh my Lord, nobody's gonna believe me.
No, yeah.
But I seen it,
there
and that made
did.
Me. I feel good now. I'm like, why? I feel like talking to him. And the more I get more closer to this one, if I can get that lucky, I want to try to talk to him. Why y'all keep coming up here? I'm going to start charging you for rent. What's going on with you guys? But it's real. I don't get it. I mean, I just don't get it. Why are they picking me? Why here? I'm like, oh, my God. You know, it's just, I figured all these gunshots, they go away. And when they do come back, they come back and let you know they're back.
Yeah.
They start beating wood things up in the woods, hooping horn, hitting branches, hitting stuff, you know. They let you know they're there. They don't. Yeah. I'm like, wow, I'm so excited about this. And I can't tell them but you guys, you know.
Well, we're going to need TJ to come out there, right?
He's going to have to take a heck of a cage.
I understand. Well, by golly. Audrey, I want to thank you. Man, I'm going to tell you, every week you give us a report here, and it's pretty neat.
I can just give a bland one, but it ain't going to happen. I wish you could come here and stay. You would not believe it. You'd be like, oh, my God, she's not kidding.
No, I understand. The other thing is one of these days you're going to get a picture, and that would be really nice because they are kind of camera shy. They're a little bit camera shy, and they really don't want to – they don't like – I mean, they know what a – they know what equipment is. We had one instance where a guy hung one of these game cams up high in the tree, and the creature came and crawled up, crawled up the tree, and then smashed the front of the camera, and then peed in it.
They know, yeah. They're intelligent. So
yeah.
They got to have some kind of human being in them to be, you know, because actually apes are more involved than we are. The only thing different,
yeah.
And they're more cultured than we are. They care about their people more than people care about people out here, like I've stated before. The only thing different than them and us is they just can't talk. They can't communicate with us. That's the only difference, like I've said before.
Oh, yeah, but they have their own methods of communication.
Yeah, so, you know, so, see? Connection with them and all three of us, basically.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank you for coming on tonight. And yeah,
mm-hmm.
Rocky, did you have any questions?
No, I was sitting back listening in.
Okay. Well, Audrey, what we're going to do is I want to mute you out, and you hang on the rest of the show here.
Okay.
We're really, really, really happy to have you every week to come on here and just to give us a status report of what's going on over there. And you always have something. It's pretty neat. So I want to thank you again.
Yeah, I know.
Thank you again, and hopefully
thank you
we'll
for having me
TJ.
On the show.
Yep, and we'll have TJ out there one of the days to take a hand in with you and see what we got. How's that?
Okay, that'd be good.
Okay. I'm going to mute you out, and then we're going to I want to go to a commercial, and when we come back, we're going to talk to Marcus. Here we go.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks on the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
Did you hear that?
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. Him, he's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
Well, I landed on the ground, I kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
And we're back. Well, ladies and gentlemen, when TJ and the team were on expedition here recently, they stopped by a place in Arkansas, and one of the places they stopped by was Zeke and Marcus area, where they went out on an expedition. So we're going to go out to Arkansas. We're going to talk to Marcus, and he's going to tell us just what was going on and what they did and what they found and how it's going now. Marcus, how are you tonight?
Hi, how are you? This house where over here in Arkansas, Hot Springs, Arkansas, where my children stay, has had a lot of activity for ever since they moved in. And finally, Zeke took the initiative to call somebody and report what he had personally has seen and what the rest of the family and friends have been seeing around the house for the past, I'd say about 4 or 5 years. So when we went out with the team, we went out at night.
Well, before you start that, tell us a little bit about your background. What
sure.
have you seen? What are some of the things that you've seen? What are the most some of the most exciting times for you, your first encounter, that kind of thing?
Well, I guess the reason why I was probably invited to come talk on the show is because I personally have been face-to-face with only one, but it was at night. So I can't really clearly say that I saw one, but the family members have all witnessed one, and I've actually either been with them or just heard the stories about them. And
yeah.
So anyway, I actually have been whistled at from the tree line because the woods are directly behind this house. And I have to say the most significant one was my ex-wife's experience. She's the owner of the house. And it was springtime, and I was outside ready to go for a walk in the woods behind the house, and she had came out on the porch, and she had just woken up, and I noticed she was staring off into the trees, and she said she saw somebody coming. And I actually heard the bushes moving and the trees and stuff, you know. There's a lot of racket in the woods, but I just thought maybe the squirrels were jumping from tree to tree making all the noise. But when I saw the look on her face and she was telling me, you know, it looks like a large man, but it's hairy, that's when I kind of, you know, said, okay, she's seen some kind of animal. And I grabbed a rifle that I had leaning on the porch and walked up to it, and she said that I actually turned around and had my back to it, and she's seen it take off. And that's probably what kicked it off. She was the first witness. And after that, we just had a lot of experiences. And I started kind of doing what Audrey did. I started writing down everyone's stories. And we've had the same thing from we have a cabin on the property. It's been banged at night. It's been knocked on. And even as recently as last night, Zeke and I were on the back porch, and we heard some tree knocks off in the distance. And it's just ongoing. That's probably the most significant time, Zeke's sighting and then Andrea's sighting. He seen one in the woods, and I was actually with him. Again, my back was turned when it happened, but he was focusing towards the woods because he was feeling uneasy. And sure enough, he got a glimpse of a creature that was rather tall and hairy, and he said basically he saw a Bigfoot. And anyway, I've been around here and I've heard a lot of stories, and even as recently as a few days ago, our neighbor, who is now a believer, before he was a little skeptical, but he actually heard some yelling in the neighborhood about 1 a.m. And he said it sounded like a primal yell, like they were communicating with each other. And he said they were actually in the neighborhood. And it scared him pretty bad to where he ran inside and got a gun. And even his wife, who was inside, actually heard it from inside their home. And they said they heard 3 of them, kind of all. Everyone describes like a man yell, but mixed with kind of like a... It's hard to explain the way they say it, like a man in pain yelling. And I could go on and on about all the witnesses we have here at this house. Kids always hear yelling at night. Yeah. And they actually say they hear a female voice kind of a talking and a deeper male voice talking. And it goes on and on. Bits and pieces keep coming to me from all the family and all the friends that live in the area.
Well, tell us about some of them.
Sure. There's another significant one that I actually forgot that I left out. My apologies. We have a kid living here at this house, my son's friend, Josh, and we were all on the back porch one afternoon, and we actually heard like a tree branch break and hit the ground rather hard, almost like if something snapped it and threw it on the ground. And we all kind of said, wow, did you hear that? And next thing you know, you hear footsteps running off, like a bipedal footsteps, very heavy. Something took off running. And that kid, Josh, actually jumped into the tree, into the woods, and ran after it. And he actually said he saw multiple Sasquatches. And it was interesting because he actually got footage on his phone, and he submitted it to you guys. And it was kind of shaky because he was going from spot to spot because he heard multiple ones. But he actually came back scared and got me, and I went back in there with my gun. And he told us a story as he was running after them. He finally made it to an opening in the woods where it kind of turns into a small meadow, and he actually seen one walking back towards the trees, but through the meadow, and he said it was actually crouching and walking, kind of like how a ninja would, and it actually hid behind a bush and kind of was shaking a branch at him, kind of like in a, like an ape-type behavior. And it eventually turned around and walked off, and there was actually a smaller one, he said more like a child-sized one. So I believe there might have been a mother and its baby. And they walked off. And when I went back with him, which was immediately after, you can hear something kind of like a communicating, like whooping. And it's a mixture of like a dog and like a monkey type of sound. And I kept telling him, you know, it really sounds like a dog. And he's telling me that that's no dog. And we kept hearing things breaking in the trees and everything. And not necessarily wood knocks, but more like snapping of branches and stuff. And it was happening all around us. And I didn't get a glimpse. But I myself can go on and on about what I've had happen to me. Of course, I've been whistled at several times from the tree line, and walking to and from the house and to the cabin, I've been clicked at. Like, they make a clicking noise. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that.
Yeah.
But I've been clicked at, and it was directed towards me from the trees. And I actually felt... hello?
When you say clicked at, was it like a verbal thing or like rocks clacking together, or
kind of like like if we were to click, like a clacking, like a clicking noise, and it got real intricate. It started getting fast. It turned almost like like a woodpecker speed. You know, it got very intricate. And I couldn't keep up. I tried to mimic it, and I actually felt weird doing it. I actually looked around before I did it because it was nighttime, and I just didn't want, you know, if there was anyone out for them to think like I'm crazy. But I heard it, and I tried to mimic it. And believe me, I was kind of frozen when it happened. I was going to actually try and get attention from the house, kind of yell for somebody to say, "Hey, come out here. There's something clicking at me from the trees." But that happened to me. And
the guy that was with you, he said that he saw it, and that it was kind of hunched over, so there was no actual way to, you know, estimate a height or anything.
He actually did see it stand back up, and he said it was much bigger than anything he's seen out here. Like it just seemed out of place.
Right.
He said at least 7-8 foot at least.
Yeah.
He said they were surprisingly skinnier than, you know, they were more slim and tall than anything, but they seemed powerful. And he said he actually seen it walk, and he said their steps, it's like 3 of ours at least, and he said they move very fast. And he actually saw how they he says when they walk, they kind of twist their feet as they run and walk, and I've never heard anyone say that. He's the first one I've ever heard say it, but he actually got to observe them for what seemed like a few minutes. I really wish you guys can talk to all of them. I recently learned my eldest son and his friend were building a fire here on the property, and the same woods behind the house, they actually seen one as if it was just passing through. He was really big. They said he was built almost like a builder, like a bodybuilder, how they naturally kind of, their arms stay bowed out, like they're flexing towards you. Well, they said they seen it walking, and it actually turned and looked at them, and they said they kind of locked eyes with it, and then it kind of turned back and continued on its way. But they said it was really, really big, and they even talked about the eyes and everything. And this is shocking because my son just drove out from California, and he's telling me that this happened years ago when he used to live out here on the property, you know, with his mom. And we were not aware that he saw something like that. And his friend, who also saw it, happened to be here that night, and they were both telling me the story. So this household has a total of 5 witnesses who has actually seen has seen a Bigfoot. So I just happen to be around.
Well, that's pretty good. That's pretty good, Marcus. The it's still going on, right? It's kind of an ongoing thing.
It's still going on. Yes.
The reason I ask is because sometimes these creatures are in a migration pattern, and at certain times of the year, people seen them, you know, see them. But then there's other times where they're just hanging around the area because they have enough food and water and shelter, even through the winter, and they'll stay and hang around. And so it's kind of neat, both you and Audrey have this area where they hang out all the time. That's pretty neat.
Yeah, I actually wrote it down. I actually had the papers in front of me.
Here in Arkansas, the last little bit, it seems like everything has been just hanging out, just like you say. I mean, we haven't really had any bad weather.
It's been beautiful.
Yeah, and it's not. You know, there's still plenty of stuff to out there to eat, and well, you know, there's really at this point there's no need in anything moving on. We
right.
just haven't had a big migration of anything lately.
Right. I've been seeing a lot of deer. A lot of wildlife. Am I still on? Because they've had activity here recently.
Oh, you're on.
Okay. Yes. Well, yes, I totally agree. I've seen more deer this year than any other year I've been out here. I've been here since January, and I've visited years past, and back to the activity at the house, Zeke and Josh one morning, which is about 2 days ago, they heard, again, the same thing we heard, you know, the breaking of a tree, the snapping, and something running, and they said it was the best thing, this instance was the best, the most, noisy activity they heard. They actually heard it break a tree, and they actually took off running.
I'm on the radio. Okay, I'll go right now.
And they said it ran through, and the Zeke actually caught what he said he saw, the legs, the hairy legs, very thick, hairy legs walking past into the trees. So that's been happening. Yes, that's been happening. And then, of course, I told you about the neighbors. They heard the yelling in the neighborhood. They said there were three of them kind of communicating back and forth, and it scared our neighbor, and he's a pretty big guy and a pretty big, tough guy, and it scared him to go in the house and get a gun. And the list goes on. I have two pages full of just everyone's accounts. And
now, what we'd like you to do is if you keep on tracking it, let us know. We'd like to have you back on again. You know, Audrey's comes on about usually every other week, and
Gladly.
She's on, and she gives us a status report of what's going on, and she's got a lot of activity. You could do the same thing.
I would love to.
It's pretty interesting. But, yeah, we'd love to have you.
I would love to. I've walked the woods behind our house here with a tracker, and they've pointed out prints, which it took me a while to actually see them. But I've seen prints back there and tried to take pictures, but they just don't really come out as good as seeing them in person.
No, I understand.
Because of the terrain, the leaves,
sure.
and everything that's out here. So,
well,
yes, I'd love to.
Thank you for coming on, Marcus.
No problem. Thank you guys
for
having me.
Sharing with us.
I like hearing the stories.
And I like to keep in touch with you as in the future as well, if you don't mind.
No problem. I'll keep better track and have some good stories for you guys. They're hanging around. It's been great weather out here for them.
Well, anytime you have any action, just give me a call and we'll have you on the show to talk about it. How's that?
I will do.
Okay. Well, what I'm going to do is we're going to go to another part of Arkansas, and we're going to talk to Mark here in a second. And I want to thank you, Marcus, for coming on and sharing with us. I want to mute you out right now and listen to the rest of the show. Well, everybody, that was Marcus from Arkansas. Now we're going to go to Mark from Arkansas. Mark, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. And yourself?
Hey, Mark.
Great.
I don't know if I told you, Mark, but before we left, I just wanted to thank y'all for your hospitality when we were down there.
Oh, anytime, brother.
Well, Mark, why don't you tell us, give us a big old background sketch, your view and your first encounters and the most recent stuff that's been taking place. Can you do that?
Yes. But before I do that, I have to say that I have a job. I'm not clinically insane. I do not do drugs.
You and I have to worry about that on this show. Let me tell you. This is the safe haven for people who have visual encounters and experiences with Bigfoot, and we don't ever put anybody down. We don't think you're crazy. We know they exist. What we're trying to do is share with the rest of the world here what we have already revealed to ourselves, and we know, and so. You don't have to worry about that. Nobody will think you're crazy.
I just wanted to express that.
I understand. Everybody does. Because everybody does think you're crazy if you talk about it. I mean, that's true.
Well, I'll start my day back on October the 18th. I went into work that morning, and the boss man had told me to go haul red sand out at our pit between Malvern and Glen Rose on Highway 67. And I was the first driver in there, unlocked the gates, drove the mile in there, and it was dark. And I got my flashlight back into my hole where I was going to load, got my flashlight out to do a inspection on the piece of equipment I used to load myself, which is a front end loader and or Traco, check oil and coolant and, you know, stuff like that. I just happened to look down and there was a footprint, like a person taking their shoe and sock off and walking around, except for they were a lot bigger than my foot. And I wear an 11.5. I noticed.
About how big was it, Mark?
Well, the biggest one was, we did measure them. One was 22 inches. Another one was 18. Another one was 13. And there was two others that were even smaller. And
that's pretty interesting, yeah.
I don't know. There was five of them, and I was able to capture pictures of three of them because I really didn't believe what I was seeing. It was a new experience for me. I was a little nervous. I got back in the truck till another driver showed up, and I walked up to that driver and I said, "Hey, you know, come check this out." And he was like, "What the heck?" You know, and we started following him, and we walked to the top of the hill that we've been getting red sand out. We've got topsoil up there, and we walked back to his truck. He had a tape measure, and that's when we measured him. And I didn't take pictures of every single footstep, but I got pretty good, what I would say, pretty good pictures of some prints. I wish I kept things differently. I'd have wished I would have had a tape measure down on the dirt or my foot to match it. But it was something I've never seen, and I've been trucking all over this country for 26 years, and I'm an advocate hunter. I've lived in Oregon. I was born and raised in Minnesota, and here I am in Arkansas, and I've just never seen anything like that. And me and Don actually jumped on one foot trying to impact the ground as deep as these were, and we could. I'm 260 pounds. I'm a big boy, and I couldn't even come close. And he tried, and he's probably 220 somewhere in there, and he couldn't either. And we just went about our business, went about our day, and I snapped the pictures. I kind of felt foolish about it, you know. Really didn't know where to go with them, and I finally just came home one day, and I was like, you know, I've got to share this, you know, and I shared it with y'all.
Can I cut in for just a minute?
Yes, sir.
Marco, when we went down there, he took us to the pit that he's talking about, and he told us how to get there, and me and TJ and Cello and T3 were all scouting around, and southwest side of that pit, I followed a deer trail, and there was this little wooded, kind of a little bit of wooded area, and was going to go down there and see if there's a watering hole or anything like that, for a deer to be going down that way. But instead, I found a footprint where something had started up. It was a big footprint. It wasn't very plain because it was real sandy there. But then beyond that was four steps going up the hill. It was really steep. Well, I take it back, it was five. Anyhow, there's absolutely no way I could have made those steps because my boat's built too close to the ground. And I got pictures of it, but, I have a flip phone, so, you couldn't tell anything, just a sandy spot. But anyhow, shortly after we found that, Mark showed up, and he was showing us where he found the tracks. And while we were out there, it come a nearly torrential downpour and washed everything away. But the tracks were there. They were going up the hill, and then on the other, when it up on top of the hill, it was a lot harder ground, and it just kind of, there was nothing to be found up there, but going up the hill, like I say, there's five, maybe six steps, and there's just absolutely no way that I could have made a step like that going up that hill. It was just, there's just not enough of me to do it.
And you were talking about the area where the equipment, where we met, right?
Right.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Well, one thing I'd like to do, we're getting close to towards the end of the show, another 7 minutes. What I'd like to do, if you didn't mind, I'd like to take and put everybody online, and Marcus and Audrey could ask Mark, and Mark could ask Audrey and Marcus questions, and Rocky questions about their experiences, if they'd like. How about that? You think we can open it up?
Good. Sounds good.
Okay, Mark, right. Marcus, you're on, and Audrey, you're on, and Mark, you're still on, and so is Rocky. Go ahead. Does anybody have any questions for anybody about anything?
Oh, gosh. A million questions.
Go ahead. Start asking.
Okay,
this is a good time to do it. I'm opening it up for everybody.
I have a question for Audrey. Has she thought of putting up game cameras, maybe like maybe against the house or somewhere in the hidden spot where she might be able to capture some of them?
Yeah, that's what I'm doing now. I'm trying to get them close to the house where I can just get a picture of them. I look out my back window and just snap them right there.
Okay, there's two problems with the game cameras. You have the old style that flashes, and you might get one picture, but then the newer ones with the infrared, they say that elk is the only thing that actually can see infrared, but there's a lot. That's been brought into question a number of times because there's a lot of IR game cameras out there, and they're not picking anything up.
They got a sense to it.
Yeah.
Well, I use them out here. And I have
like I say, they some people say that they have met a hum, but some people have suggested that they can actually see the IR, just like the like an elk is supposed to be able to.
Wow.
Oh, that'd be.
Well, there's been quite a bit of questions about these different cameras and the IR level, and because these creatures are nocturnal, what a lot of people believe, and I think what Tom and my and many of us have taken a look at, we can't prove it, but the resistance of getting a picture of one of these things has been pretty high. They seem to be able to detect it. So we think that they have an IR visual capability to some degree. And what happens is they can detect that, and so they're very sensitive to it. They know that it's some kind of a piece of equipment, and they're pretty smart. So we think they do. I think Tom has tried several different varieties of cameras, it appears that they, you know, we've gotten all kinds of pictures of other animals.
Not them.
And we did have a hand and a foot, and that kind of thing. But to actually have one where it snaps it back and forth real good. Now I got a picture from some kids in Virginia, and they sent me. And they had one of their game cameras that worked, and it was a good picture. It was pretty darn good. It got a good full view of the creature, and it was pretty spectacular. But it's hard to do, I think. What do you guys think?
Well, I think the kids got it because they're adults are more like wanting to shoot them and hurt them and stuff, and maybe they was able to get the camera because they're young and they're youth, you know. And these Sasquatch don't feel hard by them, so they don't care if they take the picture. Maybe they send a bunch of kids out there to get pictures. They probably get more. Seriously.
How about you? How about you, Mark? What do you think?
I think that the infrared, them picking, being able to pick it up, is a logical explanation. You'll catch elk on a game cam, but their mental capacity isn't what theirs are. If they truly do exist, I've yet to have seen one, and I'm a firm believer I've got to see something in order to believe it.
And that's not unusual either, Mark. Believe me, it's quite all right.
I am on my way because I do have the footprints, and I don't know what else could make a footprint like that.
I've seen the picture that you took. And I'm convinced.
I have noticed since my footprint encounter on the 18th, because I'm an advocate deer hunter. I tend to watch more than I used to and pick up more than I used to. I pay more attention. And it's not that I'm scared. I'm just kind of want to see one. When TJ was here, he asked me, Mark, would you shoot one? And I said, if it didn't mean me no harm, I don't think I could. If it meant me harm, yeah, I'd lay it down. But if it was doing its own thing and I was doing my own thing, I don't think I could. And,
Well, quite a few other people are the same, Mark. There's quite a few other people the same way. Many people have been confronted with these things. And it wasn't just fear, but the issue was they couldn't shoot it because it looked human. And it just didn't feel right. And there's been many people to tell me the same thing. Now, obviously, if you're threatened, now Rocky was threatened. He wasn't only threatened, he was picked up and thrown.
Well, to me, that's a threatening move. And, yeah, I've got a big gun.
Big guns are not.
Rocky had a pretty big one, too, that 50 cal, right, Rock?
It was 454 Casull.
Oh, 454 Casull, yeah. Well, that's a pretty hefty weapon.
Yeah, I had 300 grain hand loads in it that were just hotter than hell.
Man, I tell you.
I just, you know, I don't believe that the savages that you know, you've watched on the TV, I you know, and you look back years and years ago when the Indians painted them on the cave walls where they lived, and you know, I've got an understanding, you know, more so than I used to, why people don't see them, and it's because we're extremely destructive, and they know that.
Well, you know, that's curious too. Yeah, that's one of those things. I think probably for the most part, they don't mean anything, any harm other than, you know, their food source. But I think it's just like people. You'll find that one out of a great number that'll do you harm just because.
Yeah. Correct.
I don't think that's what happened to me in the incident, my little encounter. After I had time to think about it, of course, I didn't. It took me lots of thinking, and I don't know that I was attacked. I was grabbed, but as far as it being an attack, the strength, it had enough strength that it could have snapped me in two. It could have broke bones, but it didn't.
Correct, and like you guys said earlier, they're nocturnal, so their eyesight versus ours in the dark is a significant difference. And I also wanted to say the howling and the whooping sounds that I've been hearing out of the house, because I do live out in the country, and since this harvest moon has been around since the first part of the week, last weekend, it's kind of gotten quiet around here. And, you know, we'll see what happens after this.
Well, here we are. We're getting, we're about 2 or 3 minutes over the show time. But I just want to, I'd like to, we got to close the show, but I want to thank you guys. Thank you, everybody, for coming on and sharing with us, okay? Audrey, Mark.
Thank you.
And Marcus. And I'll keep in touch. If anything else happens, don't be afraid. Keep in touch. You got my number. Or get TJ's number, either one, or any of us. Give us a call. And, you know, if you give me a call, Audrey and Marcus, I'll put you on the show again. We want to allow people to share in your experiences. And it's very important because there's so many people out there. And Mark, it's not a problem that you don't fully believe yet, because most of the people on our team didn't believe.
Well,
TJ himself until he actually snuck up behind one.
I'm not saying that they don't exist, but I'm just one of those types that have to see it in order to believe it.
No,
I am on my way, because I do have footprints that I don't know what else could have made.
Well, what
I
you want to do
yet.
Is you want to get a confirmation, and visual is a confirmation, and then it leaves no doubt about it. And
correct.
When you look at evidence, it's hard to put it together to say for sure that that's what it is. There's always that question in your mind that it could be something else, and so. But it's not a problem. That's the way it should be.
Okay, Marcus. Marcus, if you would, after the show, if you will give Marco your phone number, or he can give you mine, and that, I mean, I'm up here in the northwest corner of Arkansas.
Correct,
so
correct.
You can give me a holler.
Are you talking to Mark or Marcus?
Marcus.
Oh, okay, I'll shut up.
Well, he's not on right now. He dropped off his phone. But we'll get a hold of him.
If Rocky had a minute, I just had something to say.
Sure.
Last week, and my phone got broke. My phone with all the pictures and everything on it.
Right.
I don't have anybody's contacts, yours or anybody's. I don't have the pictures anymore. So when you see TJ, will you have him text them to me?
Sure.
I'd appreciate that.
Okay, I've got your number.
Correct. I just don't have anybody's. I'm on a new phone that I got yesterday, and I was able to keep my old phone number, thank goodness.
Okay. Yeah, I'll text you when I can.
Okay. I appreciate
it. Well, everybody, I want to thank everybody for coming on the show tonight. And
Marco, thanks for having me.
And we're going to be happy to have another week next week. And until then, I'd like everybody to keep trucking along, keep bigfooting, and we'll see you next week. Thank you for everything, everybody. Good night.
Goodbye, everybody.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pact that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they died. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, myths, and mysteries, legend, tales, and facts. Put them together.